The pandemic is bringing new attention to a critical healthcare challenge plaguing many countries, a shortage or unreliable supply of medical oxygen. It's also prompting many medical providers to look at ways to fix the problem. Special correspondent Fred DeSam-Lazaro reports on one example in Uganda. It's part of our series, Breakthroughs.
Do you ever run out of space here? It looks pretty busy.
Yes, there are very many.
Bed space is almost always in short supply in public hospitals like this one in Uganda's second largest city, Mbarara. But a bigger, ever-present concern for veteran head nurse Adiodata Aherwe is having a steady supply of oxygen to save this premature infant and so many others.
The lives of hundreds of patients every day in this Mbarara hospital depend on an uninterrupted supply of oxygen. In turn, the hospital's oxygen plant depends on an uninterrupted supply of electricity. And in Uganda, as in so many other countries, that is hardly guaranteed.
UNICEF says this scarcity or irregular supply of oxygen contributes to hundreds of thousands of child deaths every year. Along with drugs like antibiotics, oxygen therapy is critical in treating pneumonia at 800,000 victims each year, the biggest killer of children under five. Pneumonia is often found in severe malaria cases, like that of 9-year-old Frida, who was brought here by her dad, Bosanio Bazamanza.
She was breathing really badly when we came. They put her on oxygen, and now I'm seeing her breathing improving and getting better.
Frida is also one of the first few patients who've been put on a fail-safe oxygen delivery system that's being piloted in this hospital, called Oxylink.
So basically, this is a very simple system that ensures that we have an uninterrupted supply of oxygen.
Sheila Baganaya is a biomedical engineer and the Uganda head of 302, an Australian nonprofit that invented this system.
So we have a concentrator which makes oxygen from air.
So this is the oxygen concentrator.
This is a concentrator.
That oxygen is pumped into the lower of two 50-gallon bladders or flexible bags. On a shelf about 6 feet above it, the other bag is filled with water.
When there is a power cut, oxygen will then come from the bag to the patient.
In a power failure, she says, a sensor triggers the system to send water flowing by gravity from the upper bag to the lower.
The weight of the water will flow down and push this oxygen to the patient.
Because the water is heavier than the oxygen, so it's going to come down into this bag
and push
the oxygen
to the patient.
Through the tubes to the patient.
Exactly.
And in the event of a long power outage, more than 2 hours perhaps, that would deplete the stored oxygen, she says a backup cylinder is on standby.
Normally we have short but frequent power cuts.
Yeah, but even a short power cut can mean the difference between life and death.
Exactly.
So far, it's proven 100% reliable, she says, serving 4 pediatric patients at a time. 302, which is funded by several international charities, plans to scale up here and in 22 other rural East African hospitals. The focus will remain on pediatrics, but Baganaya says that benefits all patients.
Usually pediatric wards, neonatal wards, are some of the highest consumers of oxygen in a facility. So we find that once we are able to provide reliable systems for like pediatrics, for neonatal, that then frees up more oxygen for the adults, for COVID and other cases.
Nurse Aherwe, who's worked here for more than 2 decades, is encouraged by all the attention now being paid to the oxygen supply, attention that's heightened by the pandemic. The improving supply is helping save many more lives than was possible just a few years ago, she says.
How many patients would you lose?
20% of children because of oxygen. But these days we are in 5%, 6%. They don't die because of oxygen, they die because of underlying conditions. But for oxygen, at least these days we are fine.
Allowing her, like so many more patients, to breathe more easily. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam-Lazaro in Mbarara, Uganda.
Fred's reporting is in partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.